Today's devotion is titled, My Hand is Upon You. I have met a number of Christians who during their lifetime have done mighty things for God, yet they can testify to a time in their life that through illness or accident, they almost lost their life. Satan wanted to prevent them from sharing God's love. God often allows things to happen in our lives to strengthen us and deepen our experience, to give us wisdom that we can in turn pass on to encourage other Christians who are growing in the Lord. But we need to be wise in measuring the amount of energy we use both physically, mentally and spiritually. We need to ensure we do not suffer burnout, which has happened on a number of leaders and have sadly left their office as pastors through trials and burnout. The secret is in us having a close, loving relationship with Jesus to discern and hear what his will is for each one of us. Then, for us to pursue his will, but not running ahead, taking on too much responsibility, then suffering the consequences of becoming ill. Sadly, for myself, I have had to learn this lesson the hard way. We read in Psalm 46, 1 and 2, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. What an encouragement and assurance for God's people to know God is with us at all times, protecting us and guiding us. We also read how angels are sent to help protect us, as in Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. I would like to take you to one or two scriptures where God intervened in people's lives, protecting and guiding them. For instance, we read in Genesis 12, 1-3. The Lord had said to Abram, Go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. What transpired through Abram's obedience to God was enormous. First, we have the birth of the great nation of Israel as we know it today. But of greater importance is what God promised Abram in verse 3 of Genesis 12. All people on the earth will be blessed through you. Many years later, through Mary, Jesus was born. And after giving his life as a ransom for our sins, by the almighty power of God through the Holy Spirit, the church was born. The children's hymn, written by Anne Gilbert, says, Jesus, who lived above the sky, came down to be a man and die. And in the Bible, we may see how very good he used to be. He went about. He was so kind to cure people who were blind, and many who were sick and lame. He pitied them and did the same. And more than that, he told them too the things that God would have them do, and was so gentle and mild, he would have listened to a child. But such a cruel death he died. He was hung up and crucified. And those kind hands that did such good, they nailed them to a cross of wood. And so he died. And this is why he came to be a man and die. The Bible says he came from heaven that we might have our sins forgiven. Before we can know God's leading and guiding us, we have to become part of God's family. In order for that to happen, we need God to deal with our old sinful nature. We have to be born again. At the age of 11, I realized I needed Jesus in my life. I asked him to forgive me of all my past sins, acknowledging he died on that cross to pay the penalty for my sin. I then asked him into my life. But I also asked him to become Lord of my life, to have complete control. What a transformation took place. I felt I was walking on air. The next day, April the 24th, 1957, together with my school, I met the Queen of England. I got my priorities right. I met the King of Kings first, before I met the Queen of England. Have you met the King of Kings? There are two vital ingredients that Abraham needed for God to bless him. We also need to heed them too. It was faith to believe what God had said, and then to act by obeying God's voice. That is a vital lesson for us all to understand if we are going to lead a fruitful life for God. It is important that we have a good, healthy relationship with God. Prayer is an important part of it. Yet at the same time, we need our conversations with God to be two-way. We need to hear God speaking to us. After all, how can we know what God wants us to do unless he tells us, as he did to Abraham? God speaks to us in many ways. We do not know how God spoke to Abraham. It may have been an audible voice, like when God spoke to the boy Samuel one night. Many times in the Bible we read how God spoke to people through dreams, and that is just what happened to me on more than one occasion. During a particular time in my life, I was facing some difficult life-threatening health issues. Let me tell you how God intervened. I was 55 years of age. Chris and I were actively working in our local church, as well as ministering in a Christian drug and alcohol dependency rehab center, together with me holding down a very rewarding job. We were also part of a prayer group supporting Christian Romania. At this time, we were unaware what God had planned for Chris and I in that country. Chris and I both experienced bereavements of different kinds which have enabled us to come alongside folks suffering. We both had a passion to evangelize, teach and guide new Christians, counsel those who were hurting, praying them through into wholeness. God had given us both a driving passion to serve him, taking every opportunity that comes along our path. We read in the Old Testament how Moses, having led the Israelites out of bondage, out of the land of Egypt, Moses, as leader, was in charge of the Israelites travelling through the wilderness. He listened to God and obediently followed his every desire. But he needed to be wise as to how much work he took on. We read in Exodus 18:1-20. Now, Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses was sent away, his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law, received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land." And the other name was named Eliezer, for he said, "My father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh." Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' son and wife, came to him in the wilderness, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all these good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hands of the Egyptians. He said, "Praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me and seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions, and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases, they are decided themselves. They can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. This is a timely warning for all of us. While Chris and I were on a short holiday, I spent a full day in bed feeling unwell but unable to know why. At times I found myself unable to recall certain names of people or things. The person or item I could clearly picture in my mind, but I could not recollect their name. While taking a longer holiday to try and remedy my health situation, I collapsed. Free from any responsibility for a while, my body realized it could take a step back a little and recover. Did not just step back to have a break, everything just gave way, my body switched off. When I collapsed, I was unable to walk for some hours. Then, when I did manage to recover and walk home, a short time later I developed a flu-like fever which stayed with me for months, leaving me with a constant headache. I was extremely sensitive to any noises, unable to hold a conversation. The illness had greatly affected my mind. It was like a nervous breakdown. I spent well over a year in bed. It was painful to just turn over. The nervous system in my body had caught a virus and had swollen throughout the whole body, including the brain. I lost the use of my hands. I could not hold even a book to read, and at times, unable to feed myself. After many tests, unable to find anything medically wrong, I was diagnosed with ME, or chronic fatigue syndrome, CFS for short. It was a result of nervous or sensory overload. It meant I would be unable to work again. It would take many months, even years, for me to recover, if at all. Because of the prognosis, the company I was working for allowed me to retire early. The pension I was able to receive was equivalent to the value of the pension I should be getting 10 years later, when I was offered officially retired 65. We could see God's hand in this. One night, soon after illness started, when my body was at lowest, the Lord spoke to me through a dream. I was back in the first church that we as a young family had attended, the Old Gospel Hall, a small chapel in central Britain. In my dream, the building was full of people, mostly young people, with my father leading the service. He requested I read a passage from the Bible, because he knew I liked reading the scriptures in public, and how anointed I became when reading. That is, speaking under the power of the Holy Spirit, who invaded my spirit, giving me great boldness, zeal, and divine authority. For courtesy to the church, I wanted to read from the Authorized Version of the Bible, better known as the King James Version, as most folk in the chapel preferred that version. But in the dream, the chapter I wanted to read had been torn out of the Bible. So I then began to busily look for the chapter in the NIV, or the New International Version, while making humorous, reassuring comments to the congregation, while they sat waiting and I was busy searching. Once I had found the verse, Dad then asked me to stand at a small lectern nearby to read. And then the dream faded, leaving me with the scripture clearly affixed in my mind. It was Psalm 139. Once I awoke, I aroused Chris and I told her of my experience and asked her for a Bible just to find out if it was of any significance. What a wonderful chapter Psalm 139 is, for it reminded me that the Lord was with me right from my conception and is still with me however difficult the circumstances are. The opening verses read like this, Psalm 139, 1-4. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know where I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. But when I read verse 5, it was as if a light was switched on in my heart. It so warmed my heart. The Holy Spirit so impressed the words upon me. God was speaking directly to me through the dream, through the Word of God. And this is what it says. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. I had such an exhilarating glow in my spirit. I knew it was the Lord speaking right into my circumstance. I couldn't wait to tell Chris. When Chris heard these words, she too was also inspired and reassured, knowing in her heart that one day I would be stronger in body and spirit than before the illness struck. These words became a rock for me to stand on. I could trust him. For all I knew, through these words, the Lord was on my side. He was in the centre of my circumstances, supporting and reassuring me, knowing that he would restore me and see me through. Apart from some initial anxiety regarding me getting back to work, until the company offered me a pension, I had total peace and contentment and a very cheerful spirit. These words of scripture completely delivered me from any worry and care, for I knew the Lord was taking care of me down a side road at this time to learn to trust him. For over 20 years, Chris and I had been part of a group of fellow Christians who had been prayerfully supporting a young Christian lady in Romania. As yet, we had never had the opportunity to visit the country. 4 years later, we were able to make our first visit to the country. By this time, the young Romanian lady had married and her new husband had qualified as a Baptist minister. In his new role as a minister, we were able to encourage and give them much-needed support, both practically and spiritually. Today, 23 years later, you could never tell I'd been so ill. We regularly visit Romania, having had the privilege to help in a Christian orphanage and help in other churches in the area, as well as being given the opportunity to build a Christian church community centre in one of the villages close by, so as to commence an outreach to the children and youth, building relationships through the young families. God always keeps his promise. Chris and I together heard God's voice and heeded his command. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-20, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Yet, Jesus also gave the command with a promise, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." If you're not sure what is God's will for your life or how you can obey him, just ask. Jesus said in Luke 11:9, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." It is so important you get to know God's voice speaking to you. God will give each one of us a unique way of communicating with him. For me, it varies. Sometimes reading a verse in the Bible. Sometimes through a dream. It can be through circumstances that arise in our lives and also through what Christians may say to us. It is often said that Satan drives. He is behind people, he works in darkness, so folk have no direction. But Jesus is our good shepherd, he leads. We need to hear his voice and follow him. The hymn writer has penned these words based on Psalm 23. "I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. Pastures abundant doth his hand provide, still waters flowing ever at my side. Goodness and mercy follow on my track. With such a shepherd, nothing can I lack. When I would wander from the path astray, then he will draw me back into the way. And in the darkest valley, I need fear no ill, for he, my shepherd, will be with me still. When labor's ended and the journey's done, then he will lead me safely to my home. There I shall dwell in rapture sure and sweet, with all the loved ones gathered round his feet." Following Jesus ever day by day, nothing can harm me when he leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whatever befall, Jesus the shepherd is my all in all. Amen.